Well, I'm glad to see all of you this morning. It's nice to be together, part of the body of Christ, come together. And in the body of Christ, each one of us has a part to play to help the body to be able to function and to grow and be encouraged and be healthy. So each one of us is important here this morning as a part of this congregation and as a part of the body of Christ to use the talents, use the opportunities that God places before us so that God can be glorified and so that souls can be saved. For that is the great work of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. I invite your attention this morning over to Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning with verse 8, and we're going to be reading together here this morning, Ephesians chapter 5 and beginning with verse 8. And he says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." We find that Paul here is again talking to us about how God has changed us, how we're being changed into new creatures and new people by Jesus daily, every day. New changes are happening in our lives. And God is using us to continue the work of Jesus here on earth today. And that is so important that we understand our part in this. So we're going to talk this morning about walking as children of light. And we saw that in our lesson last week that Paul said that we should walk in love. He is continuing to talk about that, the life that we live, the daily life of being a Christian. It's not something that we just do here on Sunday morning. It's every day. You're a Christian. Each one of us are walking as children of light in this world that we live in. And God is bringing that light into our life as we allow Him to change us. And what it is really showing is that we're never too old to change, and there's none of us that can't change. And yet sometimes we may feel like it's very difficult to change, and we fail in allowing God to change us in some ways. But we need to be patient with each other and patient with ourselves and surrender ourselves to Christ and let Him continue to work these changes in us. So what does it mean now to walk as children of light in this life that we are to live in? So we're going to begin there with verse 8 and continue to look at this context where one of the things that Paul was bringing out was how our life is to be different from the pagan people around it. Keep in mind, he was writing this to the church in Ephesus in the first century and talking how they should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. So how we should avoid the behavior of the world around us and focus our life living as Christ wants us to live. And that's going to be a contrast to the world around us. So we're going to talk about being darkness and light today, and how the world around us is in darkness, but our life by Christ is light, and that's going to stand out. That is going to be a contrast to the world around us. And what he is saying here is that you were once darkness, but now you are light. He reminds us of our life before Christ and our life now with Christ. That now you are light, but once you were darkness. And that's how the world is around us. It's darkness, spiritually speaking. And yet Christ is light. So we are part of Christ. And now that we are in Christ, our life takes on that characteristic of Jesus, and we are light. He doesn't just say here that you were once in darkness. He said you were once darkness, and now you are light. So it is now a changed quality within us that you, as a Christian, are light. And that is because you are in the Lord. Notice he says, now you are light in the Lord. Whenever we go out at night and look up at the moon on a bright night, it's amazing to me that the moon can be so bright and can light up the sky at night. But we realize the moon doesn't have any light of its own. It is just reflecting the light from the sun. That's how you and I as a Christian are to be. That our light is reflecting the light of Jesus. That he is light. And as we draw close to him and devote our lives to Jesus, we now are light. And you think back about the significance of light from the beginning of the creation. When in Genesis chapter 1, at the very beginning, it says that God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Well, we see from the very beginning there that God separated light from darkness. And that they cannot exist together, that light dispels darkness, and they are separated from one another, that there is either light or there is darkness. So when the light is brought in, then that drives out the darkness. And God intended that to be the case, that in our life as a Christian, that we are to be walking in light. And we see here that there is, as God is describing this, it's either one way or the other. It's either light or darkness. We know that if you go out, say for example, at 5:30 in the morning, and it's dawn, the light is beginning, but it's not yet daylight. And then the same thing at night, as the sun is going down, and after it goes over the horizon, that's dusk. And it's gray. It's kind of in between. But Paul doesn't do that. When it comes to what he is saying here, he just says, there's darkness. You once were darkness. Now you're light. So it's one way or the other. Your light, our life, each one of us, is to be, we're either living in light or we're living in darkness. And that is how God designed it from the very beginning to be. He wants us to dwell in light. God is light. Jesus is light. He said, "I am the light of the world. And if any man follows me and comes after me, he will know the light of life. He will no longer dwell in darkness." Jesus is going to bring you out of darkness into the light. Now, we might compare, as you look at this photo, is a picture from space taken off the United States at night. And what we could compare that with is Christians today in the world. That you as a Christian, you're in a dark world that you live in, but your life is shining. And that shines out. That makes an impact. It makes a difference in the world that Christians are living their life as light. And they're shining that out so that there is, in a dark world, that stands out. That's how God wants us to be. We understand that a lot of crime happens in the dark, that criminals like to operate in the dark. And that light is one thing that can help prevent crime. Now, in many of our neighborhoods now, they are improving the lighting. You probably have noticed this, that now we have the LED lighting, and they're much brighter. And they have been going through a lot of neighborhoods. The cities have been replacing the older bulbs, and it's so much brighter in your neighborhood now. Well, that's a good thing because it's going to help prevent the crime. It's going to make the neighborhood safer, that you can walk down the sidewalk. You're protected by light. And light represents goodness. It represents knowledge and truth. And darkness represents evil and sin and ignorance. Things that are bad in the world is represented by darkness. God wants us to be light and bring that light through our life. And what He is saying is you once were darkness in your life. That's the reality that before we were Christians, and if we weren't living the Christian life today, we would be darkness. Because when we are living for ourselves, and when we are not following Christ in our life and submitting to Him, our life is darkness. There's nothing in our life that is bringing people to God. You see, that's where salvation is found. If we're not living for Christ, then our life is darkness. But He is saying Christ has brought us out of that. And praise God for that. We are coming out of the darkness into the light. So now your life, you are light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. I want to remind us that whenever you become a Christian, God moves you from one place to another. He transfers us. It says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. God then transferred us from the power of darkness, the kingdom of Satan, to the power of the kingdom of His dear Son. So we're in a new relationship. We're in a new location spiritually. And what Paul is saying is, live what you are. Live how you are. Now you are in Christ. God has taken us out of darkness. He has put us into the light of His kingdom. Let your life reflect that. Be who you are. You are children of light now that you are in Christ, in the Lord. Now, He is next going to be showing here that that means there is a new direction of our life. That we are walking in the light, and therefore our life is moving in the right direction. We are moving in the direction of the fruit of a life lived for God. So He says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I understand some translations on this verse, it actually says the fruit of the light. We know that we're familiar with the fruit of the Spirit in the book of Galatians. And it talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. And it names all of those. But he is saying here, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit, or maybe the fruit of light, is in all goodness. So the fruit of living your life in the light, there is fruit that you are going to produce. Fruit that is beautiful, fruit that is valuable, that can make a difference and change the world for the good. He's later going to be talking about in verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Those are unfruitful. The life that people are living without Christ, the darkness, he talked about in the lesson last week when we were, he was saying, walk in love as dear children of God, as God loved us, as Christ loved us and gave himself. But immediately he said, but fornication, all uncleanness, immoral, sinful life, let it not even be named among you as befits saints. But he always has to remind us that our life, we must be careful not to have a part in those things happening around us. Those things are real. Those things are happening out in the world every day. And he's saying, have no fellowship with those things. But your life, walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, as he speaks about this, that these three things can be a good way of summarizing the life that a Christian is now living. The fruit of your life, the fruit of the Spirit that is being lived out in your life, is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. As we think about that, first of all, in our relationships with other people, our fruit of our life is in all goodness. We are going to be trying to focus on doing good things, having good thoughts. How can I love other people? How can I encourage them and uplift them? How can I have good relationships with the people around me, that I, my neighbor, my co-workers, my brothers and sisters? I want to have good relationships with people, and I want my life to reflect goodness in how I live my life around other people. And then in my relationship with God, righteousness should always be the number one thing that I am concerned about in my life with God, is righteousness. Righteousness has to do, though, with integrity and honesty and truthfulness, pursuing righteousness. When Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 and 11, he talked about the fact that many have strayed from the faith and pursued the love of money. He said the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, which many have pierced themselves through many sorrows. But he said, but you pursue righteousness and faith and truth out of a pure heart. We're striving to be a good relationship with God, with others, and in our own relationship with ourselves. It's based upon truth. We base our lives upon truth. What does God reveal to us? His will. And we find that in the Scriptures. We can know the truth, and the truth will set us free. So the fruit of the life of a Christian, you see the fruit. When you surrender your life to God, your life produces good fruit. Everything about it. You're producing righteousness, goodness, truth. It is all coming out in your life when I am submitting myself to God with a pure heart. I'm striving to do the will of God. Notice what he says is finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. That should be the desire that I have in my life today. It's not what will God allow me to do. How far can I go here that God would not condemn me for? No, he is saying, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I want to know what is pleasing to God in my life. To want to be pleasing to him. In how I think, how I treat my wife, how I treat my neighbors, how I use my money, and how I think about everything that I build my life around. What is acceptable to the Lord? That's the goal that we have. And when he says to find out what is acceptable, it means to test it, to examine it carefully, to look at the scriptures, to try to see what does God want in this area of my life. And then I can know that my life is going to be producing that good fruit that God wants me to have. So the goodness and the righteousness and truth are beautiful qualities, character traits, and results that come forth from the life of every Christian when we surrender ourselves to his will and seek to do those things that are pleasing in him. In order for this, we need to be people who constantly go back to the Word of God. We read from God's Word. We look at our lives. And, you know, it's amazing how when you pick up the Bible and you might turn it to any passage, and you begin really looking and reading and studying, thinking about my life, what is this passage teaching me that I can learn from in my life? You know what? You're always going to find something there. God's Word is so rich. And no matter where we go, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, in the Epistles, in the Book of Acts, the Gospels, the book of Proverbs, the prophets, wherever you look in the Bible, and you slow down for a few minutes, take the time to examine, read a passage of Scripture, pray about it, think, what does this lesson teach me? You're going to find something very, very helpful in your life from reading and taking the time to hear what God is saying here to you. Now, we find now that there is also going to be a new desire that we have living as children of light. And what is that desire? That desire is going to be that because I have light in my life, I want that light to be transferred to others. I want them to have the benefit of that light. I want them to help their life be better as a result of this same light that is changing my life. So when it comes to sin and the way that people are living who don't have Christ in their life, he says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Again, this is referring now to the life of people who don't have God in their life. Because they're in darkness, some of them don't know any better. Maybe they are ignorant of God. And I think we've all come in contact with people that seem to be very sincere in what they're saying, and yet what they're saying is 100% wrong when you look at what the Bible teaches. They mean well. They absolutely believe it from in their heart that this is a good thing. It's not a good thing. So they are deceived, but it's because they're in darkness. And we have to keep that in mind. But as I live my life, I must be careful that I don't get sucked in to things that are going on around me that are darkness, the unfruitful works of darkness. So have no fellowship with them. You know, the word fellowship is misunderstood many times today as Christians. We do not have a good understanding of what fellowship means. Sometimes today we think fellowship means having a potluck and having food together or some kind of, you know, refreshments. What it means is partaking together, becoming partners together. That's what fellowship is. And we are not to have fellowship with darkness. Now, we are around it all the time, and we can't avoid it in that sense. Because, you know why? Because Jesus said, I do not want you to go out of the world. I want you to be in the world, but not of the world. God does not want us to go off and live in a convent away from people. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be living in the world, but not become of the world. So have no fellowship with the unfruitful darkness. Don't participate or become partners in it. That's all it's saying. But rather expose them, what the unfruitful works of darkness. So sometimes there is going to be a need for us to speak out. Sometimes we can rebuke or expose evil just by being there. Just by living your life as a Christian. That exposes darkness. And that's why some people get uncomfortable if a Christian walks into the room. Or it's on lunch break and they see a Christian sitting there maybe half praying before they eat their food. It makes people uncomfortable. Well, it is, they're not saying anything to, to condemn the other person. He just is offering thanks for his food. He's praying. There's people that get upset when a football player scores a touchdown or hits a home run and they stop and they give glory to God. Or horror be if a football player kneels down and bows their head and says a prayer. They've even had news articles, editorials. I don't think it's appropriate. They shouldn't do that, you know. It's not the place for it. So it makes people uncomfortable, and yet they're not doing anything to condemn the other person. They're not saying you're going to hell if you don't pray. They're just setting an example. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But Paul is saying, have no fellowship with the unfruitful darkness, but rather expose them. Sometimes it becomes necessary to speak out. And we need to have courage to do that. Remember John the Baptist? He spoke out. Herod was living with Herodias, his brother's wife. And John preached against that. He said, you should not have your brother's wife. He came out and said that. Well, we know that he was arrested and put in prison. And Herodias, she said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a silver platter. She wanted vengeance for what he had done. But he did what was right. He spoke out against that sin that Herod and Herodias were committing against the laws of God. Sometimes we need to speak up. There's too many Christians today who are silent when we ought to be more vocal We ought to be speaking up. And oftentimes the world is sliding downhill, and we as Christians are standing by silently, not speaking up like we need to be. But there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. We all understand that. A Christian is to be walking in love. We're not to forget that. As God loved us, as Christ gave Himself for us, and He said there at the end of chapter 4, He said, "And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." So, but as a Christian, we have to have some backbone at the same time. A Christian needs to have the courage and the strength to stand firm and speak up and say, "No, I don't agree with that. I don't believe that's right." And so many things that are being put forth today, we need more Christians who have the will to stand up and say, "No, don't believe it's right. Don't think that's the right thing." And yet we're not to attack people. Keep in mind that. Christians are not to be out there attacking people verbally or otherwise, as some from the other side will do. We don't behave that way. We don't conduct ourselves. But he says it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. And there are things happening out of the world today that, frankly, I don't want to talk about them. And I might even say this. I would like to maybe apologize a little bit for some of the words I spoke and talked about in the lesson last week. Karen mentioned that to me. Said, "Don't you think maybe that was, we have young people in the audience, sensitive ears?" And that's true. So we need to be careful. There's things that are going on in the world that it is even shameful to speak about. We don't even want to mention what's happening. Some of the things that people engage in. And for us to talk about it, that could lead to us knowing more about it and getting tempted to bring into those things. So we need to be very careful. Paul is saying, though, that the desire we have as Christians is to allow the light to expose those things. Because when the light exposes them, there are some people, like I believe, who honestly believe things that are wrong, that if the light could shine upon them, they would realize it. They would change. They're just in ignorance of many things. But it's a choice that people have. There's a choice to, when the light is shined, to accept it or to shut it off. In John chapter 3, for example, in verse 19 through 21. In John 3, verse 19 through 21. Jesus was speaking here. And he said, "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." I believe he's indicating from this that there is a choice that when the light is brought in, there are going to be some people who welcome that. Oh, I'm so glad to know that. I never knew that before. And it has totally changed my thinking about how I want to live my life. And other people, they just absolutely shut it out. They do not want to hear it, will not listen to it in any way. But it's a choice that person has. So do not become partakers with them or partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are children of light. And what this means is that people like God, in the beginning, He separated light from darkness. That those who are children of light, those who are children of darkness, there's going to be a separation. of how the two groups live their life. So we are to let our light shine in the darkness. And as a result of that, the desire is to bring to light things that are happening that are wrong in the light of God's truth, so that people can have that choice to see. So when you let your light shine before others, there is going to be an impact. And in some lives, at least, it's going to be a very positive impact that you can have. So he says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So as a result of that, what we see then is that all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. And whatever makes manifest is light. So if you go into a dark room and you turn the light switch on and it floods the room with light, then it's going to expose, obviously, what is going on there. But it's going to be a good thing, ultimately, to bring in the light. The light is going to have an impact to drive out the darkness. If an individual is willing to allow that in their life, it's going to help those who are willing. So he says, "Therefore, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." The darkness that is around us, we must not be lulled asleep by it. There is a sickness that some parts of the world, sleeping sickness, is encephalitis. There is flies and other insects that bring it. And it infects the blood. But what happens is you become drowsy over time and you just fall asleep. And you never do wake up. The only way to protect you from that is to eliminate those insects that are carrying that infectious disease. So you spray, you cut the trees, you do many things that can prevent that disease from coming in. Same thing with us. As we live the Christian life, we've got to stay awake. We've got to not be lulled asleep by sin, by the world, by around us, and just slowly be brought into its power. Darkness has a power over us that once it gets control of a person's life, it has power to hold them in that darkness. Light is what's going to make the difference. Bringing in the light. So he says, arise, Christ will give you light. And that light in you will impact the lives of others around you. And so we are to be children of light. Children of light. And avoid the darkness and help bring the light to drive out the darkness of those who are around about us. In order for this to happen, we need Christ in our life. We need to... It's through Christ that this light is going to be made possible to lighten our life, to illuminate us, to help us stay out of the darkness, and then through our life to impact the life of others around us. So are you submitting your life to Christ is the question. Have you surrendered your life to Jesus? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you? Do you believe in Him? He is the light of the world who brings out the darkness, drives away the darkness, and brings life into you that you cannot have otherwise. So this morning we invite you to commit your life to Christ, to continue to spend your time that you have to look into God's Word where the light is going to shine to brighten your life each day so that you can make a difference also in the lives of others. So if you're here this morning and you are subject to Jesus and to His invitation, we're going to invite you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh.